Well, it's a great pleasure to introduce once again our good friend, Pastor John Finkelde. Some of you wouldn't know that Andrew and I used to... I think I was about 13 years old, up at C3 Hepburn Heights, which is called now. And Pastor John, at that stage, I just remember Pastor John driving the youth bus. And we had two of these white buses, 12-seaters, and I think we piled back in those days. Anyway, we piled lots of kids into them. And Pastor John and I go back a long time. And it's great to have him here, just helping us out today. Can we give a big hand for Pastor John Finkelde?
Fantastic. Thanks, Nigel. The old youth buses, I remember those little Toyota Hiace sort of things, weren't they? Unbelievable. I remember getting my license to drive a truck in a Toyota Hiace bus. This is way back. This is a long time ago. I'm an older guy. But I remember we went to the police station, the licensing station, which was a police station back in the day. And the guy hopped into the back of the bus, and there was a mate of mine in the front of the bus getting our license. And he hopped in the back of the bus and he said, "Just drive around the block. If I go to sleep, wake me up." That's an easy way to get a license, isn't it? I can now today drive a truck with that license. If you ever see me driving a truck, get off the road. It will not be a good thing for you. So good to be here with Nigel and Andrew. I put on my Facebook this morning that I'm preaching here at C3 Fremantle with BFF Nigel and Andrew. And I am so cool. I know what BFF stands for. Greg Moore's looking at me like, "You're not quite sure what BFF... Do you know what it stands for, Nigel and Andrew? Best friends forever." These guys are great friends over many decades, and it's good having best friends forever, isn't it? People let you hang out. We're going to jump into the Bible, and I'm jumping into Joshua chapter 1. There's an interesting map in the British Museum. It dates back to the 16th century. It's an old mariner's map of the North American coastline and the oceans around there, and sort of up in the unknown regions of North America. Someone had written across the map, "Here be giants, here be fiery scorpions, here be dragons." And in the 19th century, Sir John Franklin, a British explorer who was a believer, got possession of that map. And you can see this map in the British Museum, and he scratched out, "Here be dragons." I feel like a pirate when I say that. "Here be fiery scorpions." He scratched all those out. "Here be giants." And he wrote, "Here is God." How cool is that, eh? A guy looks into the unknown. He doesn't see dragons and scorpions and scary giants. He says, "Hey, the Lord is in that unknown place. And if God is in that unknown place, I can go into that unknown place." And I want to minister to you today out of the book of Joshua, one of my favorite Old Testament books, about how to possess your tomorrows, about how to look at tomorrow in a way that boosts your faith, it strengthens your courage and gives you the hope that you need to have to go into tomorrow. Because as crazy as 2020 has been, 2021 still has that feeling of uncertainty, doesn't it? Our borders are coming down, which personally, because I travel a lot with my walk, I'm very happy about. And, woohoo, grandchild coming in Adelaide. There might be a certain pair of grandparents who might be very happy about that as well. For a lot of people, it is a relief. For a lot of other people, it's like, please don't bring the borders down. I feel very safe. So there's a whole mixed bag. And 2021 still has, for me, a sense of uncertainty. I've started to plan my year now with far more insurance after knowing the borders are coming down. I can get back on a plane next year. Woohoo! Okay, no one else is excited about that, but I am very excited to go to the airport and get on a plane. I love flying, love traveling, need to do it with the ministry that we do. But it's still got, anyone else feel like 2021 still got huge question marks over it? Like you're kind of not sure what's coming around the corner. So we're going to jump into Joshua and help us, I think, possess our tomorrow. Let's jump into it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead.'" Now, this is quite a strange thing. You know, Joshua, no doubt, after Moses died, and Moses had been dead, I think, for at least a month. You go back to the previous chapter, the last chapter of Deuteronomy, it said the children of Israel had mourned Moses' death for 30 days. They had 30 days of grieving and mourning. And Joshua obviously is seeking the Lord. He's in the tabernacle. The Lord speaks to him. And can you imagine Joshua's there waiting on the Lord? Lord, what do I do? What do I do next? What decision should I make? Should we kind of, you know, we're sitting by the flood of Jordan River. Should we wait till the river goes down? What should we do? Tell me what to do. Give me the strategy. And the first thing the Lord says is, Moses, my servant, is dead. Lord, I actually already knew that. We've been weeping for a month. There's 3 million of us out here. We've been weeping for a month. You're telling me the obvious. Here's the first key to step into, to possess your tomorrow. You first have to position yesterday right. Moses, my servant, is dead. God didn't say, Moses, the loser, who should be going into the promised land, didn't make it, disobeyed me. He's dead. God didn't say that. He didn't go, Moses, you know, the guy who parted the Red Sea, the Moses that brought down the plagues in Egypt, the Moses who, Joshua, you'll never be as good as him. That guy is dead. I love what God does for Joshua's heart. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. When we look at yesterday, it's important to get yesterday positioned right. Don't deify yesterday. Oh, the good old days. You know, as you get older, there's that temptation, isn't there? Back in my day, it's good old days. You know, you can kind of deify yesterday. You put yesterday up so high, it's like we can never get back to that. But I tell you, all our memories start to get kind of blurred about yesterday. I think yesterday can look better than what it actually was sometimes. Sometimes you can devalue yesterday. And I think that is a bit of a trap for younger players. I found I did it as a younger man. Was you kind of go, oh, yesterday, whatever. Get out of the way, you old guys. Let us young guys at it, because we're going to do way better than what you've ever done. And there's something of the Lord in that, in young people. They've got an energy and a vibrancy. But you've got to be careful that that doesn't rule in your heart as a young person. That you can't just move out of the way now, because we're going to make it happen like it's never happened before. And you can devalue yesterday. But I love what God does. He says, Moses, my servant. I wouldn't mind that having said at my funeral. John, my servant, is dead. Because it's the my there that makes it meaningful. My belonging, known, accepted, is dead. And before Joshua can move into his future, he has to position his past right, so he's not overwhelmed by Moses, or he doesn't put Moses down. I think in handling our yesterday, we need to move into our tomorrow with gratitude about what has gone past. Even sometime in the next couple of months when I do my annual review, which generally takes a number of weeks, where I sit and pray and think about the year, I'm going to find things in this year to be thankful for. It might be a bit tougher than previous years. I think I'll find things to complain about quicker. But I'm going to benevolently pressure myself to be grateful for the year that has been, for all that's gone on. It's important to look back, I think, also on your past with mercy. I love what you did this morning, Charlie. That verse, I love that verse. If we confess our sins, if we go, okay, Lord, I did it, put a hand up, God is faithful. And just, because God's justice is based on the cross, is just to forgive us. Oh, not only forgive us, cleanse us. Oh, that was awesome. Well done. I shouldn't preach. We should just go home now, because that verse will do me for the week. I'll just meditate on that through the week and spend a bit of time maybe confessing up to some things as well and saying, Lord, thank you for cleansing me and washing me. And I think you need to look back on your past with mercy. Be merciful to yourself. You're just flesh. You're flesh and blood. Have some mercy on your past. I think God is far more merciful to our past than what we are. I think sometimes forgiving ourselves is harder to do than even to accept the forgiveness that God gives us. Be merciful to yourself. Be kind to yourself. And I think especially in 2020, as you look back on the year, have mercy when you look back, because I think it also helps you. If you're merciful to yourself, you're more likely to be merciful to the people in your past who have wounded you. Because part of possessing your tomorrow means somewhere along the line, you have to deal with the wounds and the hurts of the past. And that means being merciful to people, forgiving people, releasing people, people who have disappointed me, people who have upset me this year, people who haven't been good to me this year, to turn around and go, I don't want to, but I'm going to forgive you. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like forgiving someone is just a bridge too far? You just don't want to. I want to call in. I got this line from Darren Holcren, so I'll use it this week. If he uses it next week, you can tell him I used it this week. I want to call in an airstrike on people. I want to blow them up. But mercy, you're going to have fun with Darren. Darren is a funny. If Darren is not funny, tell him at the end he did wrong. Because Darren is one of the funniest preachers I know. Leaving yesterday behind before you get into tomorrow. Let's have a look at another principle of possessing your tomorrows. In verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, there's about 2-3 million people there, the Israelites, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea, to the west. And you see outlined here this whole thought of God saying, hey, I'm going to give you this portion of land. He outlines the geography, the river Euphrates over here, the Mediterranean over here. I'm outlining all this huge hunk of land. The Lord wants to speak to you about your tomorrow so you begin to see it. Because when you begin to see it, you then have an ability to possess it. I'll say that again. When you begin to see your tomorrow, you have an ability to possess it. A great prayer to start praying. I'm on holidays in about 2 weeks' time. One of the prayers I'll be praying, and I have a very fluid sort of prayer Bible life during my holidays. I get really cruisy with the Lord. I don't have it too structured. But one of the things I'll be saying, Lord, I'm on holidays now. I don't have to coach anyone, don't have to consult. I'm not preaching in this month, Lord. I'm just cruising with you. Jesus, can you just drop in a dream about tomorrow? Could you just give me a vision? Could you just give me a word? Could you speak to me about 2021? Because I know if the Lord speaks to me, then I can get it. If I begin to see what God is saying to me, if I begin to see the land, the boundaries, the place where God wants me to go, then I can begin to reach for it. There's a real interesting thought down here in verse 11. Go through the camp, tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Take possession of the land the Lord is giving you for your own. Whenever you read through the first few books of the Bible about the promised land, you'll find these two words often put in the same verse. I am giving you the land, go and possess it. And again and again and again, you get this theme of God saying, here's my gift to you. You can have all this territory. I am going to give it to you out of the generosity of my heart. Now go and possess it. And the Hebrew word for possess is an interesting word. It means to dispossess and possess. You can look it up in your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Check out the Hebrew. It actually has a double-edged meaning, that to possess, you have to dispossess. In other words, the Lord is giving you a future that will probably have a couple of enemies standing on that tract of land, that you will have to dispossess them in order to possess the land. In other words, God just doesn't say, oh, look, here's your future, go for it, I'm just giving it to you, and you just sit back passively and, when's it coming? Passivity will not enable you to possess your tomorrow. It's a bit like, I bumped into Greg and Caroline yesterday in town. I was just down at Cocoa Black by my dad. My dad turns 95 today. How cool is that? This afternoon, we've got a big birthday party for him around at my sister's house. Every Father's Day and every birthday, I buy him a big Cocoa Black box of chocolates. He loves it. Mum hovers over the box. Dad says, leave them alone. It's my present from my son. And Greg's just celebrated 59, turned 59 and 12 months in the last little while. I saw Greg is possibly struggling with that number 6, but he wants to want you. Don't worry, in another 10 years, you'll be 59, 120 months, and you're going to keep that roll as long as you can, aren't you? I know what will happen today with Dad, and it would have happened with Greg celebrating his birthday. People will turn up with gifts. People will turn up with presents. I've got a beautiful cocoa black. Who's ever bought cocoa black chocolates? Oh, not enough of you. Oh, seriously, they are unbelievable. Sorely tempted. I try to buy them as close to my dad's birthday as possible so the temptation to open the box doesn't overtake me. They are beautiful chocolates, and they're in a beautiful bag. They're wrapped in a beautiful box. There's 75 chocolates in there. Maybe 74 by this afternoon, you never know, and it's wrapped up in a ribbon and everything. And I will present it to my father, and my dad will be, oh, thank you, John. Mum will be hovering. Dad will be saying, get away, Beryl. Bill and Beryl. That's my mum and dad. How cute is that, eh? Bill and Beryl. It's Aussie from about 1920-something. But Dad won't possess that chocolate until he takes it, unties the ribbon, opens the box, pulls off the beautiful layer of tissue paper, and takes the chocolate. See, God wants to give you a tomorrow, but you have to possess it. It's going to require faith. It's going to require stepping up. It's going to require reaching for it. Surely the Lord has given it to you. No doubt about that. The Lord has given me a brilliant 2021. It's all shiny. It's all ready to rock and roll. But I have the responsibility to go get it. And there's a truth here in a verse about how you get into this tomorrow. It's back in, where am I, verse 3. I will give you every place where you set your foot. I will give you every place where you set your foot. And it goes on a number of times to say, down in verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and courageous. Right down to the last verse in the chapter, verse 18, only be strong and courageous. You don't possess your tomorrows by sitting back waiting, hoping and wishing and praying. Is that a song? Hoping and wishing. I won't try and get any further with that. You have to be strong and courageous. And I love this thought. Every place where you set your foot, in other words, where you take a bold, courageous step into your future, that's what you'll possess. I remember as a young guy going down to Scarborough Beach when I was about 15 or 16. And young guy, I was lean. I was ripped, Jared, ripped. Maybe not as ripped as you, but I was a young teenage guy, and you go down to Scarborough and the southwester would be blowing and the dumpers would be rolling in, and you kind of walk down the beach, you rip off your T-shirt, you stand by the water, you make sure the young ladies have noticed. You look at the dumpers rolling in, the breeze is blowing, your hair is flowing back. And you run towards the water. Yeah, I'm worried to see what the temperature is, for goodness sake. You're 16. You bang, bang, bang. Dive into the water. You bang, 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 bang. You're out there and you get up out of the water. You shake the hair off. Turn around, make sure the young ladies have noticed. I've conquered Scarborough Beach. I put my foot in there. I trod on the thing. You fast forward a few decades. You now go to Sorrento Beach. You picked up a coffee on the way. You get out of the car and, whew, bitumen's a bit hot, better keep the thongs on and head down to the water and finish your coffee off in the bin. And you stand there looking at the lovely, calm Sorrento Beach. And you look around, see if there's anybody there you know. Okay, safe to take the T-shirt off. get the T-shirt off. And walk towards the water and, oh, gee, that's cold. Goodness me. When did they turn the temperature around? You're going to go, oh. The deeper you get in, guys, you know what it's like. Make sure there's no one there, I know. You don't tiptoe into what Jesus has given you. You want forgiveness for your sins? Be bold enough to confess them. Maybe occasionally be bold enough to say to a friend, man, I'm blowing this. Pray for me. Maybe bold enough to say, Lord, I believe you're going to speak to me about 2021. I'm going to have a great 20. Maybe bold enough to declare faith over next year. Whatever this year's been like, Begin now to set up your year with a boldness. Don't be a Sorrento Beach tippy-toey Christian. Be a Scarborough Beach, rip the T-shirt off and get into those dumpers, Christian. Be bold. Three times the Lord says, be strong, Joshua. Come on, man up. I mean, following a guy like Moses has got to be intimidating. I mean, this bloke could kind of point at a rock and a river flows out of it. And kind of, he's got an old gnarled stick. He hangs it over an ocean. It goes, you know. So, right, Egypt, you're having frogs for breakfast. Frogs every. I mean, that's a hard act to follow, isn't it? Be strong and courageous. The Lord said, verse 2, get ready to cross the Jordan. And you find down in verse 11. To the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. That's the wrong verse. Ah, here we go, verse 11. I'm reading the wrong verse. I'm getting too excited here. Go through the camp, tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, we will cross the Jordan here to go in. 3 days. Josh said, I'm up for it. Let's do this thing. The only thing is, if you go over to chapter 3, verse 15, there's a slight problem with crossing the river in 3 days. Verse 14 of Joshua 3. So when the people broke camp across the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Have you ever seen a flooded river? They are scary. I don't know if you guys were there in early 80s. We had a youth camp down at the Lindbergh's property down in Augusta. Do you remember that camp? And the Blackwood was flooding. Were you there too, Charlie? The Blackwood was flooding. I remember we went down to this beautiful house, magnificent house, huge double-story house on a farm property owned by the Lindberghs, friends of folks in our church, and beautiful kind of colonial old American-style house on the Blackwood River. And we went down there and we had a youth camp. We're all camping out in tents and all sorts of caravans and stuff. And the Blackwood River was flooding. I'd never seen a flooded river. And because I used to be young and stupid, I thought, how can you drown? I used to think this. How can you drown in a flooded river? I used to think that. How stupid. When I saw this river, we got up on the Saturday morning. We're down there Friday night. Got up Saturday morning. And we're all standing kind of not right on the banks because this thing was flying by. And logs. I remember this. Logs just flying by. Hunks of trees. And I looked down and I said, kids, get back. Goodness, if we fall into that, we're dead. Flooded rivers are scary, though a number of the young people, and I'm sure Nigel and Charlie were part of this, were kind of hoping and wishing the flood would come up and take the house down the river, because that would be a spectacular story for decades, and thankfully it didn't. It was close. I think this is one of the most amazing miracles of the Bible, of what I just read, is that Joshua talked 4 guys carrying a wooden box covered in gold to step into a flooded river. He wouldn't go in himself. Imagine, who's on the Ark roster this week? Joshaphat, Joel, on you come, Jeremiah, come on. Jolabad, Geb, grab your heart. Because there's big poles holding the box. 4 guys are carrying, you're all on today. Joshaphat's going, I'm going to check the roster, man. I'm sure it's not my day today. Seriously, you've got to be kidding me. You want to step into that flood? Look at the logs going past, Joshua. They're flying past. And Josh said, the Lord's spoken to me. You'll be okay. Who'd be up for changing roster on the? Can I imagine these guys going, yeah, I'm feeling very confident in what the Lord has spoken to Joshua. I mean, you're not just stepping into the water. You're carrying a golden life buoy. This thing's going straight to the bottom. It's gold, folks. Bang, down. You go, I find this remarkable. In front of your tomorrow, there will always be an impossible barrier that you need God to break for you. Why would you say to the people, the Lord says, get ready to cross. You're crossing now. Lord, if we wait a few months, this is spring. The snows are melting. The river is flooding. If we just wait a few months, we can have spring and summer by the water. It'll be magnificent, brilliant. And in summer, the water will be low enough. We can just 3 million of us just walk across. Easy peasy, Jesus. Why don't you make it easy, Lord? Lord says, nah, not into that. I want people to look at you. See, God always has an intent. I want people to look at you like they looked at Moses. And that ain't going to happen, buddy, with you wading across a river that's a foot deep. I'm going to do a miracle. And these four guys were up for it, Joshua. Bang! Jordan River parts. Suddenly, gee, Joshua's not bad. He's a pretty good leader, isn't he? I knew all along, Joel said. I knew all along. Jolabad's on the back. They're just going, oh, thank God, you know, throwing the kids off my legs. Daddy, don't go in the water. Get out. I've got to go. I've got to go. Bang, stand in the middle of the river. And 3 million, can you imagine standing there when you're the guy who carried the golden life buoy? You'd be 3 million people wander by and say, good move. Well done, Joshua. God will always put an impossible barrier in front of you. Always. So your dependency is not on you, your gifts, your abilities, your strength, your anointing, your call. It's upon the Lord God Almighty. And he will break through for you in 2021. But you've got to be bold. You've got to be courageous. You've got to step up. Take the step. Believe God. Let God give you visions. Let God give you dreams. Let God put a word in your heart about next year. Because whatever's gone on this year does not have to shadow over next year. That's a word for some people here today. This year does not have to shadow over you and I into next year. Then last story, Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan, all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they'd crossed over, their hearts melted in fear. Oh, love that. Our enemies melting in fear. They no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Oh, with this amazing miracle, the word gets around, the gossip gets around. There's Instagram pictures of the Jordan River parting. There's guys carrying the golden life buoy. It's just, wow, look at this man. We are going to get conquered by these people. In verse 2, Joshua has the sense to stop and say, Lord, speak to me. Last time you spoke to me, it went really well, actually. We had a miracle. It was amazing. It was brilliant. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives. Okay, Lord, you generally wouldn't take territory with a little flint knife. Surely you'd tell us to make some swords. And circumcise the Israelites again. Say again, Lord. Now, we'll read on in a few verses in a minute, but there's 3 million people. Only 2 men have been circumcised, Joshua and Caleb. There's 1.5 million men uncircumcised. Israel had forgotten their covenant requirement to circumcise all the boys at 8 days old. So you have 1.5 million men there. Joshua comes out of the tabernacle and says, hey, folks, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is God's spoken to me. Oh, the crowd goes, yay! Can you imagine the atmosphere in the camp? They've just crossed the Jordan River. Jericho literally is a few kilometers over the hill where they were camped. You can look at a map. It's not far to go. They could take the first city. They had momentum. They're an army. They're ready to rock and roll. We've had a miracle. Joshua comes out and says, the good news, God's spoken to me. Well, last time the Lord spoke to Joshua, it went pretty well, didn't it? Rivers parted. Amazing. And the bad news is all the men have to be circumcised. Yeah, what the heck is going? Yo, what the? Now, this is the Bible, not me. Verse 3, Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. In my margin, and you can check this out in your margin, Gibeath Haraloth means the hill of foreskins. It's in my Bible. I think it's actually pronounced Gibeath Haraloth. I think that's the correct Hebrew pronunciation. Can you imagine all the wives here, you understand this. Imagine 1.5 million men lying around in bed going, oh, honey, it just hurts, I'm sore, I'm not well. 1.5 million guys with the man flu all at the same time. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all like, oh, honey, just come and wipe my brow, it doesn't feel very good. This is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. all the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were military age when they left Egypt died since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation, every single male, from babies through to men, were circumcised. They remained where they were in camp till they were healed. You see, the main thing God was concerned about wasn't even the miracle crossing the Jordan. It wasn't the city they were about to take, the land they were about to possess. Circumcision to an Israelite was a sign in their flesh that were in a covenant relationship with the Lord. The Lord says, I don't care if you got momentum. I do not care if you want to take that city. I don't care if you're having a big party. The main thing for me is your personal covenantal relationship. And I will stop you in your tracks to remind you of that. You see, you never stop an army with momentum. You don't. It's not strategic. You know, sometimes God could care less about strategy. Sometimes God could care less about momentum. He cares far more about my and your relationship with him. And as you get visions and dreams and words about your tomorrow, as you begin to possess that tomorrow, as you boldly, strongly reach to get the land that God has given you, may the foundation, the basis of it, please may the foundation of it be, Jesus, I love you and I'm walking with you. Why don't you close your eyes when you sit next, Catherine? I love you, and I'm walking with you. I get Nigel and Andrew to stand up. The Lord gave me a picture while we were worshiping. There is a beach in the far north of WA, 80 Mile Beach. Been there a few times speaking at kind of combined church camps there. It's a wild part of West Australia. And when you go down to the beach, it's a high tide beach. When the tide goes out, it can go out, I think, about a kilometre. It just seems to go out forever. You kind of can't see the water anymore. And then it gradually comes in, it's massively, comes back in. It happens daily. It's just a remarkable natural phenomenon. The Lord spoke to me during the worship and said, the tide has begun to turn. You just can't see it yet. Because when you stand on that beach, you can't see the tide coming back in. It takes quite a while for you to realize the tide has turned. And you can still wander out onto that kind of moist sand for quite a way, and then you kind of go, oh, look at that, tide's coming back in. I want to tell you today that in the spirit, in the invisible, tide has turned, but you won't be able to see it yet. You'll have to see it with an eye of faith. You'll have to see it with a heart of courage. I rarely actually minister prophetically these days. It's just not the zone I'm in. So I don't come to churches. I'm not a Vicky Simpson prophetic voice. That's not my gifting. So I rarely ever come to a church to kind of pray and prophesy over pastor, and I didn't come to do that either this morning, but during the worship I kept seeing this picture. The tide has turned, but you can't see it yet. Begin to see it by faith. Begin to declare it with courage. Begin to reach for it with strength. Tide has turned. And you're going to watch, I think, in the next 3 months, you're just going to see the Lord do some things that are kind. They're going to be significant. Some of them are going to be very personal, private, that are going to be significant for you. It's just going to be, some of them will be really minor things that if you told someone, they go, well, that's not much. But for you, it will be meaningful. For you, it will pop. And I know Darren coming to preach next weekend is a significant thing for you guys. I know enough about you and Darren, Janelle, to know that next weekend's going to be a joyful thing for you because of the journey you've had with them over the years. And that latest chapter in the journey, and you know what I'm talking about, a lot of people won't, but the latest chapter in the journey is a sign to you from the Lord of what He can do when the tide turns. It's a sign to you. Accept it as a sign and a wonder. And it's designed to put faith in your hearts. It's designed to bring comfort to your hearts. It's designed to show you what the hand of God can do. It's a sign to you. Receive it. You will sit next Sunday with Darren here, just reveling in the goodness of God, because He remains powerfully good to you. Thank you, Jesus. Let there be a gift of faith this morning. In fact, I'd like everyone to stand right now. Let there be a gift of faith. Let there be courage. Thank you for your deep mercy. Thank you for your deep mercy. Your mercy endures forever. Your mercy cannot outlast or outrun your mercy. It endures forever. Fresh sense of the mercy, goodness of God. Once you where you stand, just hold your hands out like a cup before the Lord, palms up. Just kind of hold them out. And I'm believing this morning that the Lord is going to fill each and every one of you afresh with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit is given. He's not earned. You don't be good Christian and you get the Holy Spirit. You just be a human being who believes and loves Jesus. That's the basis for receiving the Holy Spirit. It's not because you ticked off your Bible reading this week or you prayed, and it's good if you do. But God is not some stingy old God who just withholds things. He is so generous. Seeing He's given us His Son, why would He withhold anything else from us? Where you stand, just ask the Lord now. Do this. Ask the Lord. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Go ahead and ask. Go on. Be bold. Come on. Come on. Plant your foot there. Plant your foot there. Don't be mute. Don't be mute. Don't say it under your breath. Say it like you're having a conversation with someone. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Go on, come on. Come on, be bold. Come on, step up. Be courageous. Step into it. Put your foot out there. Do the Scarborough Beach thing. Put your foot into it. Fill me with your Spirit. You might want to cry out to the Lord. That's okay. You're in church. It's okay to cry out to the Lord in church. You might feel like you really want to reach out and go, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Whatever you do, don't stand there and be mute, please. Reach out. Father, fill me. Fill me. Fill me today with your Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Go ahead, reach out, declare it. Ask Him, fill me with your Spirit. What a great prayer to be praying towards the end of this year. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with the fullness of your Spirit. I want to be baptized afresh in the Holy Spirit. I want to be full of the Holy Spirit. I want to overflow with the power of the Spirit. What a great prayer to be praying in the house of God. Father, I'm asking right now, fill every heart, fill every soul with faith, courage, with your Spirit, with your life, with your strength, a fresh infilling, Lord, because Lord, we want to be a people who plant our feet into the future. We don't want to be Sorrento Beach tippy-toey. We want to be courageous. We want to be strong. We want to position yesterday right. We want to take the land you've given us, because Jesus, we want to walk with you. We want to walk with you, Lord. pressure. Tides turn. Can't see it yet. 80 Mile Beach, you'd stand there. And the only way you could tell the tide has turned if you had an app told you the times of tide turning. We've got more than an app here, folks. We've got eyes of faith. We've got a God who turns tides. Jesus, seal this magnificent book of Joshua in our hearts, Lord, because we want to possess our tomorrows. Like Joshua, we feel a bit daunted by it. But I thank you, you've spoken to Joshua and you've left these wonderful stories in Scripture to give us comfort, to give us strength through the Bible. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.